See, what I love about that video is that it really does show the true meaning of what Thanksgiving is all about. It's not about where's the gravy or finding an iPad to disengage with, but rather it's about coming together with loved ones, right? It's about taking a moment to say thanks for each other and for what God has given us. Indeed, God has blessed us so much this year, and it's appropriate at least once a year to stop and to say thanks for it. And when I was thinking of Thanksgiving, see, I think of one story in particular in the Bible that has nothing to do with pumpkin pie, has nothing to do with mashed potatoes, or even brining a turkey, which you should do tonight. It's not too late. So that way you have a bird that is flavorful and moist, okay? I'm telling you, it's good stuff. But it has nothing to do with any of it. Instead, our story, which is what Sam read, is about 10 lepers. Now, we don't really think about leprosy too much in our culture today, and it's because it's rare, although when I was doing research for this, I found that there were 100 cases in the United States every year. I find that kind of interesting. But other than that, there is a cure for it, and it's very rare, especially in America. And so I would say this, that for most of us 21st century Americans, leprosy is really not on our radar. But back then, what I want you to get is this. It's our first point. Back then, leprosy was a feared disease. It was deadly. It was incurable. Hopeless. See, everyone thought about leprosy. Everyone feared getting leprosy. Think of modern day. Think of cancer or think of AIDS. Something that's deadly. Something that's feared. Because most of us here have not ever seen a leper, I'm just going to describe it. I'm going to tell you how bad it is. Now, I'm not going to do this to gross you out, especially on this Thanksgiving Eve, whenever you're thinking about apple pie and the Thanksgiving parade and, of course, brining your turkey tonight, which you should do. But because we just need to understand just how feared this disease really was back then. And whenever Jesus heals them, just how thankful they were or they should have been. First, you notice this white discoloration on your skin. In the Old Testament law in Leviticus 14, there's chapters, plural, on leprosy. And in chapter 14, it talks about what you're supposed to do if you see a white skin discoloration. You're supposed to go to the priest. And then the priest is going to diagnose it. And if it's diagnosed that it is leprosy, then you were cast out of society. And they did this so that way it prevented, it's contagious, it's obvious, to prevent other people from getting it. Then what you had to do is you had to grow your hair out and you had to yell, unclean, unclean, anytime that someone came near you, just so that way you would prevent the spreading of the disease. But it didn't stop there. It wasn't just a skin thing. See, people think that it was a skin disease, but it didn't just stop there. When I was doing my research on this, I found that it moves internally. I didn't know that until I looked this up, but yeah, it moves internal. And not only does it move internal, does it affect your internal organs, but actually one of the crazy things that it does is it damages your nerves. It kills your nerves. And so literally you stop feeling anything. And this is why it was so incredibly feared, because you were literally feeling nothing when you were fully spread with leprosy. Now, I know some of you guys are thinking, well, that doesn't sound that bad. It could be worse, right? Well, remember, God does give us nerves for a reason. And if you can't feel anything, then what's going to prevent you from moving your hand off of a fire? Right? And so one of the things that we find with lepers is that many lepers, over time, would lose an appendage. They would lose a thumb, a toe, often a leg or an arm, or all the above. And so many lepers were missing appendages as well. And so just imagine this. Imagine living in this day and age 2,000 years ago, where you notice a white discoloration on your skin. And so then you're thinking the worst and you go to the priest and he tells you that you have to leave now to get out of town. And you say, well, let me say goodbye to my wife. No, you have to leave right now. What about my kids? No, right now you have to leave. Just imagine living like that. Imagine having to walk outside of the town and just, where are you going to go? You just have to be by yourself. They eventually would create these spaces where you would organize them with your family. So your family would drop off supplies and food in a designated location, and then you would go at another time of the day and retrieve that food or those supplies. So there was sometimes a support system from your family, but oftentimes over time, it kind of wore out a little bit. People would just kind of forget. You were literally out of sight. You were out of mind. It was hopeless. It was all over. Eventually, you're going to die, and here you are. You're cast outside of society. Another leper might eventually join you, in which case, now you have a leper colony. And that's often what happened. Now, I got into all this because leprosy, I want you guys to understand, it's not just a skin disease. It's not just like a rash or something like that. Could you imagine Jesus healing a small rash on someone? It's like, cool. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. But I want you guys to get this, that leprosy, whenever Jesus healed a leper, or in this case, 10 lepers, is a huge miracle. It's miraculous. Performed a huge miracle here. So in our story tonight, we find there's 10 lepers. They're hanging outside of the city. Why are they outside the city? Because that's where they're supposed to be. And they're unclean. And they don't want to prevent, they want to prevent the spreading of the disease. And so they're all hanging outside. And then what we find is Jesus walks by, and these 10 lepers, they cry out to Jesus. They cry out to Jesus. It says this, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. See, this word cry out here, it's, you can just imagine it, like in the Greek, you can just imagine it as using all of your energy, using all of your being. It's you're screaming as loud as you can. It is trying with every fiber in your body to call out or to cry out here. And that's what these lepers were doing here. They were screaming out to Jesus. And you see what's so cool about it, in a way, I mean, this is actually an act of faith because these lepers actually believed that Jesus could heal them. If they didn't believe that Jesus could heal them, they wouldn't cry out to him, but they did. They cried out to Jesus, and here they are screaming, waving, saying, have pity on us, have pity on us. They even called him Master, Lord, have pity on us. Now, of the 10, maybe one of the 10 had just gotten diagnosed with leprosy. Maybe they've only been there for a few weeks. But maybe there's been someone in that 10 who's been there for 10 years and who just feels like that it's completely hopeless at this point, feeling like that they have a death sentence. And whenever they see Jesus, they believe that he can heal them. So they cry out with everything they have, and they cry out from a distance. And then third, we find that Jesus heals them as they walked, as they walked. It says this, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Notice that Jesus simply just tells them to go to the priest. See, what's so miraculous about this one is that Jesus does not have to touch someone to heal them. Just by his words, he can heal. How cool is that? And from a distance, his words can heal. And so Jesus says, go, show yourselves to the priest. But not only that, I want you guys to notice something else. You see the word as in that verse? I want you to circle it. Circle the word as, because this is so important. It's not that Jesus snapped his fingers and suddenly they were healed and suddenly they were cleansed. Notice what it says. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. And so you got to imagine what this must have been like. Imagine this group of 10 lepers, scraggly looking, the long hair, right? The flaky white skin. Some of them may have been missing appendages. And Jesus says, go. And so you got to imagine they look at each other and, okay. And so they're kind of hobbling along here because, you know, again, maybe some of these guys don't have legs or two legs. They're hobbling along. And notice, step one, not healed. Step two, still a leper. But then imagine step three, step four, step five. They begin to be cleansed to the point where it says, and as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were healed. Now, if they were missing any limbs, could Jesus have restored that also? I mean, he could have. The Bible doesn't say. But just imagine that. How cool would that be to find out that if any of them were missing appendages, that Jesus also healed that? How much more does it make this story come to life, knowing that that's a possibility here? As they were walking, they were healed. See, I think this word as is really important. I think it's a lesson on faith. See, oftentimes whenever we think of faith, we think of faith as being logical, or we think of faith being an idea or a belief, you know, something that stays up in your head. We say that's what faith is. But see, that's not the way the Bible talks about faith. The Bible talks about faith as if it's very action-oriented, okay? The Bible talks about faith is as a verb, faith doing. That's why James even says that faith without action is dead. See, these lepers here, they could have simply stayed sitting down in the leper colony. But Jesus called them to walk, to go to the priest. And as they were walking, they were healed. Fourth, we find that one comes back to thank Jesus. It says this. It says, one of them, when he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. See, I told you this has something to do with Thanksgiving. One of the lepers who thought his disease was a death sentence has now been healed. He can be restored to society, and he can see his family again. It's like he has a second chance. He has this new life here. And so he comes back to thank Jesus. He even falls at the feet of Jesus, and he cries out in a loud voice, praising God. And Jesus' response is really interesting. I don't know if you remember this from the reading, but Jesus' response is this. Were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Yeah, there were 10 lepers, right? But only one is here giving thanks to Jesus. So where are the other 9? Well, I mean, they could probably be anywhere, right? But it's likely that if Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, probably a lot of them went to the priest. And after all, if you're doing what Jesus says, is it really that bad? Well, not really. And after all, maybe some of them are out talking about what Jesus did for them. That's not bad, right? Right? No, not really. But then again, though, come on. They were just healed of leprosy, this death sentence of a disease. And you mean to tell me that no matter what they had to do that was so important, and I'm sure it was good, I'm sure it was important, but you mean to tell me that they couldn't just pause for 1 minute and give thanks to Jesus? You mean to tell me that they couldn't pause for even just a short moment just to say thank you to Jesus? Apparently they couldn't. Where's the gratitude? Now, tomorrow is a day where many people give thanks to God. And while I know that God appreciates that, I wonder if he ever thinks this. I wonder if he ever thinks, what about the 364? Not where are the 9, but what about the 364 other days in the year? Because after all, if our record for giving thanks to God is only 1 out of 365, then really how different are we than the 9 in this story? How many days go by where we don't even express a little gratitude to God? How many days go by where we're just so busy? And we're so consumed doing things, or maybe we're too hardened, or maybe we're too blind to see God's blessings in our lives. We're just like the 9. Luke also points out that that this healed leper was a Samaritan. And whenever we're reading it, it's almost like it should be like an even he was a Samaritan. Think of it, a Samaritan. See, he's not just a Samaritan, but he's a Samaritan leper. Now, to a Jewish person at the time, that's a pretty repulsive combination. He was from the wrong race, the wrong religion, the worst possible disease. In religious matters, this Samaritan knew almost nothing about God, and what he did know was mostly wrong. But he knew that Jesus had healed him, and he knew enough to be grateful to God. And that statement is why this story is in the Bible. This whole picture, this whole story, it really pictures life as it is. First, it's a picture of the abundant grace of God. This is a cure by wholesale. All right, it is a whole hospital healed with just one word. 10 at a time, it was a vast miracle. Second, it's a picture of ingratitude. 9 out of 10 will probably forget every blessing they ever receive from God. And third, it is a picture of unexpected grace. Grateful hearts often pop up when you least expect them. Now, you may be thinking, Mike, this is a cool story, but I don't have leprosy, and I don't know anyone with leprosy, so obviously it doesn't apply to me. And I say that's because you tuned out. So tune back in. I know, it's Thanksgiving Eve, and I'm sure you're thinking about that turkey that you're burning tonight, which you should do. But pay attention to this last point here. I want you guys, I know, pay attention. Here we are. That Jesus has cleansed our leprosy, which is sin. Jesus has cleansed our leprosy. See, it turns out that the leprosy is not the biggest deal in the Bible. It turns out that there's actually this sin thing. You see, sin has the ability to destroy our lives and our relationship with God. In a way, you can parallel it to this. You can parallel sin as being the leprosy of our soul. It can deaden us, and it could lead us into eternal death. And if you want to, we can look at some of the similarities here. Here we go. So leprosy starts small and invades our internal organs. Sin starts small and invades our lives. Leprosy leads to death. Sin leads to eternal death. Being healed of leprosy is like being risen from the grave. It's being given this new life. Leviticus 14 talks about how a cured leper is supposed to wash in a bathtub, making him ceremonial clean. In the waters of baptism, that we are washed and we are clean and we become children of God. When cured with leprosy, a spotless male lamb must be sacrificed. And for us, we have Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for us on the cross. So here's the bottom line. Here's what I want you to walk away with tonight. Is that our sin, our rejection of God, leads us to eternal death. And in many ways, we're just like one of the 10 lepers who was crying out how much we need him to save us. Jesus, he has had compassion on us, and through his death and resurrection, he has forgiven us of our sins and that we're made clean. He has reconciled himself to us so that we are not to be excluded, but we get to be with Jesus and other believers in heaven. And so tonight on this Thanksgiving Eve, and tomorrow as you're standing around your now brined turkey, may you give thanks to God, and may you recognize the blessings that indeed he has given us, and that we have the eyes to see all the blessings, and that we give thanks to God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we find this story in Luke 17, not just about a few lepers getting healed, but we see it as a huge lesson on gratitude, as we see a huge lesson on how many of us are so busy doing often good things, but not taking time to give thanks to you. And so, Lord, we pray that this Thanksgiving that we're able to give thanks to you, that we're to be the one who gives thanks, and we're not to be like the 9 who are too busy or too consumed with other things to give thanks. And most importantly, Lord, we do thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and to rise from the grave to save us from the leprosy of the soul that is sin, and that we can be with you in heaven. And all God's people said, amen.